what are Paul and Heather doing together? Paul McCartney and his estranged wife, Heather. That's the right word, right?
Yeah, I think estranged is a safe way to describe those two.
Spent the weekend together. In the midst of this nasty divorce, where his side is accusing her of being a former escort, and her side...
Concubine to the stars!
And her side is accusing him of...
He's a choker! And an abuser! Drug user!
Ike Turner and Bobby Brown.
They were actually in public and being civil and talking to each other.
Let's start the Family Feud! Dun, 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 dun.
Paul McCartney, and by the way, they were together for the same reason you were with your family this weekend.
Intervention?
No, it was there. You had an intervention
no,
too?
No, I'm making a joke.
Oh, okay.
Making a joke here, babe.
Well, if it was, you would actually keep that secret if that happened.
God, I hope I'd have that much common sense.
Yeah.
That's the best kind, right? Is the secret ones?
When secret interventions?
Yeah. I don't know. I've never...
Have you ever been in an intervention?
Never been involved on either side of one of those. Self-interventions, you know, like...
After that Seahawks game.
Yeah.
I got to clean up my act.
Were you visited by the ghost of beer past, present, and future that night?
No.
Dragon, I string along these empty kegs.
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
So Paul, birthday party then?
It was a birthday party. Okay, it was good. A birthday party for their 3-year-old daughter.
Oh.
Isn't that amazing?
Nice.
What a coincidence.
Little bee?
Little bee. They were at, they don't have Remlinger Farms in England, but I'm sure they have something like it.
At Buckingham Palace.
The two even reportedly spoke to one another during the 90-minute birthday party.
Hello, bitch.
Hello, loser.
Oh, it's very civil, don't you think? Went well. Oh, yes. Nothing was thrown. Nothing was choked.
It actually says where it was. It was held at a children's play center in East Sussex, England on Saturday.
That did kind of surprise me that Paul McCartney, Sir Paul McCartney, still goes and rents your, you know, kind of Chuck E. Cheese-style birthday party for his kid. Just a regular old, you know, plastic slides and all that stuff play center.
There were 15 guests. Your birthday party was actually bigger than Paul McCartney's birthday party.
I'm going to save my money for divorce lawyers so I can see where Paul's going to reel it in a little bit.
McCartney reportedly took off in a car with Beatrice 10 minutes before Mills McCartney left with all the leftover cake. She wants the cake.
Oh.
McCartney, 64, Mills, 38, announced their separation in May after 4 years of marriage. I keep forgetting how big of a difference there is in their age. 38 is still, you know, you don't have to... 38... You don't have to keep spraying her with pumpkin fresh.
Well, no. I don't know.
Dip her in bleach.
Don't tempt Paul.
Swap some Vaseline all over that.
All right.
Keep it fresh.
We got it.
Hopefully that's a good
spray
sign.
Spray it with paint would be fun.
They're going to reach some kind of agreement and get this behind them before little Beatrice gets older because... You know, I hate to see kids suffer in a divorce. I think you do it now while they're young. And
yeah, at 3, if they work it out and all she knows is she gets some huge, you know, she's 2 mansions instead of 1 mansion, she'll be fine, right? Is that what you're saying?
Another pony, Daddy.
Yeah, that's right, baby, another pony.
Will Paul be that kind of dad that shows up with, huge, lavish gifts? Or he wants the kid, though, doesn't he? Heather's going to get, like, visitation. Paul left.
Come on,
left.
He's 64.
Ah.
Think about it. When you go to the courts and say, which parent should the child live with? Which parent's going to be around the longest?
Well, he's going to be around plenty long to raise her. 64 to 84 is 20 years. She'll be 23 years old, and he'll still be kicking.
He'll still be a year older than Johnny Carson died.
Yeah.
Oh.
You can't exactly bounce a kid on your lap very much when you're 64, though.
Oh, Paul McCartney is a virile, healthy guy. Did you see his last tour? He's 60 isn't old anymore. 60 is just starting to hit stride. I'm convinced of that.
I agree with Joe. I think it would be ageist and sexist to award the daughter just to the mother based on the fact that she's 38 and he's 64.
If both of them are deemed... to be capable parents, and both of them are equally capable, then it would go to age. I hate to say it, but it would.
Yeah, but one of them is a former
prostitute! Coca-Cola, lady of the evening, trampolooza.
And that would be against her, yes.
That would be a bark against her, wouldn't it?
Yes, that would make them not equally capable.
What's that, Joe?
And one's a former Beatle. I mean, you know, he's the king of England. If he wants,
he's a knight. He's been knighted.
Right. Yeah. If he wants,
don't
to keep
they usually
the kid.
Side with the mother though? In most cases, if all things are equal, don't the isn't the mother
I'm by the way, I'm old fashioned, traditional family values. I'm with that. I would always side with the woman, all things being equal.
Right. I think a lot of courts still feel that way and act that way.
Yeah. I think that if you have to lose one parent, and it's a shame if you do,
right.
In terms of who you know, if there is a, I don't think anybody should get divorced. You know that, except for in cases of bodily harm and restraining orders and things like that, of course you should get divorced. But I don't think you should get divorced just because you don't like each other.
What if you're miserable together, though?
Well, then I think you should learn how not to be miserable, and you should go to classes for that.
Right. Work on it.
It's not really that easy.
It is. Well, no, it's not easy, but it's possible. Samantha, you disagree. This is an interesting dilemma. Should Paul McCartney get the kid, or should Heather Mills get the kid, assuming that he's healthy?
Paul McCartney? Definitely, because if he's older, he's got less time to spend with the kid, so let him have her until he passes, and then she can have it.
You guys are killing Paul McCartney. Don't you think he's been through enough?
Well, yeah, he should have her anyway.
Let's see, you're a 65-year-old pot smoker who chokes his wife and chores incessantly from unbelievable greed. While you, on the other hand, are a one-legged woman who lies, cheats, and sleeps with sheiks.
I don't think age should have anything to do with it anyway.
I give the child to Ringo. Ringo
Starr.
The Ringo Starr.
Ringo drunken Ringo
Starr. He's going to kick the bucket soon, then let him have her.
Wait a minute. Paul is 64. You're talking about how he's going to kick the bucket soon?
Well, no, that's what you guys are saying.
No.
But, you know,
that's just what I say.
That's what Casey said. Because to her, that's decrepitly old. She throws the pump in out when it's 62. She throws it out.
I just think if the roles were reversed, Heather was the old one, we would be having a very different conversation right now. We'd say, oh, she's too old. She's too long in the tooth to take care of the kid. Give the kid to the dad.
I'd still say the same thing, though. If they're that old, let them enjoy it while they can, and then...
Okay, thank you. Yes, Mark, what do you want to say?
Well, you know, this whole concept that, you know, just because she's a woman, she should get custody, it doesn't really work for me. I'm not necessarily saying that Paul should get custody because he's Paul, because I kind of have the attitude that he's kind of a cheap bastard. But anyhow,
Wait a minute, how is Paul a cheap bastard? He offered her $50 million to go away.
I had 30 kids at my... Yeah. 15.
Well, it's an uncomfortable situation. You would have made it a little smaller,
right.
Too. Yeah.
With his previous children, he hasn't been particularly forthcoming with the money. But anyhow,
Wait a minute, because he hasn't given... Hold on. Because he hasn't lavished his fortune on his children, that makes him a cheap guy?
Well, the thing that really stuck in my craw was when his one daughter got married and he made everybody pay at a cash bar. And this guy is, like, worth billions.
I remember that.
He's very thrifty. There's no question.
That's true. But there's something wrong with that.
Well, I just didn't want them to drink too much, that's all. I know how those people get.
Right. But, no, as far as giving the woman custody just because she's a woman, not all women are maternal. Just because she gave birth doesn't mean that she is, you know, mommy, you know, the best mommy in the world.
Right. Black widows eat their husbands and tigers eat their young. There's no say. Yeah, you're right.
Exactly. I know women who are not particularly maternal. They gave birth, sure. They have kids. They like their kids, but they're not, you know, the cuddle up with the kid and read a story to them kind of mommies. They just aren't like that. So
sure, but they would.
She's a woman.
They would be the exception to the rule. As a rule, women are made more maternal than men, and certainly there's an exception to the rule.
Oh, sure, but I guess it would be, I would hope that the courts could discern that before they just hand the kid over to the woman just because she has that genome.
Shouldn't they try to work it out, though? I mean,
absolutely.
Even Paul and Heather, can they come back from this?
You know, I think they could, and, you know, your cohort there, she touched on something that's kind of frustrating about current mentalities with marriage, that, oh, well, if it gets hard, well, we just give up.
We just quit,
you know?
Yeah.
Well,
your generation is brought up to believe that.
Well, I ain't doing that. I'm not getting married until I'm damn sure, but I'm saying
that's the thing. You can never actually be damn sure.
Well,
and you could face hardships and things that you don't expect coming around the corner. So saying I'm not going to be married until I'm sure still leaves you that out for, oh, this is horrible, I can walk away.
There are people, though, who get married thinking, I'm going to see where this goes. That's different.
That's awful, yeah.
If you do that, I'm saying if you're going to end up fighting and being miserable because you made a bad decision to get married.
By the way, would it be wrong for Paul to get married and say, I'm going to see where this goes, as long as he had a prenup?
Well, that's just a flawed logic from the start. But the thing that really is frustrating about divorce in our society is that it's about selfishness. One or both persons made themselves more important than the marriage. And so then their priorities, or both of them, if they're both just thinking this way, are more important than the marriage itself. And the marriage is supposed to be a unity of two people coming together to create something together. But if one person creates themselves as a more prioritist than the other, then it falls apart.
Yeah, we think kind of alike, I think. Thank you very much, Mark. A bunch of other people are calling. Hypothetically, who should get custody of Paul and Heather's kid? You've now heard the accusations on both sides. Would you favor the mother? Obviously, we don't know all the details, but would you favor the mother, 38 years old, and it's kind of an ageist question, would you favor the 38-year-old female or the 64-year-old billionaire? 64-year-old billionaire who could certainly provide for her.
Mm-hmm. Can he get down and crawl around with her and play hide and go seek, though?
Yeah, but can she get back up after she's got down and crawled
he's
around?
He's got a staff chiropractor.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. He can crawl.
Okay, to the phones we go. Paul and Heather got together this weekend, and they had a 3-year-old birthday party for their daughter, Beatrice. They were civil to each other for 90 minutes. It was very kind of choreographed. It was in a public place. Mm-hmm. And I think they both wanted to agree on the message that we're here for our daughter's birthday party. And fortunately, she's not old enough to read.
They're counting on that.
Right. So one of the things we asked, Paul went home with Beatrice. When the couple does finally divorce, and I think they should still try to work it out, but when they do, which one should get the kid? It's kind of an ageist, sexist, age-old question. The sexist part we are very familiar with, but the age part is this. Paul is 64. She's 38. Does that count in her favor? Mark, hello.
Hello?
Yes, Mark, go ahead.
Yes, when my brother got divorced, they awarded his daughter to his wife until she was 7 years old, and then my brother had her from 7 to 14, and at 14 she was able to choose who she wanted to live with.
Interesting. So that's a pinball approach.
Well, they say the child needs the nurturing years from 1 to 7 with the mother.
And after that, it needs to know manly things like how to go out and hunt.
Skin an animal.
Yeah. It's an interesting approach. I haven't heard that before. Have you heard that before?
Not exactly that way.
No.
It kind of happened to me, but not quite that way.
Not intentionally. Adele.
Yeah, hi. I kind of been touching on the same thing the last guy said, except for Dr. Phil was quoted a lot of times. He always says that the child until they're age 12, the most important years of their life, they need the same sex gender of parent to watch over them, if that parent is capable, obviously. But
so Beatrice would need her mother until age 12. Okay. Brian, hello.
Hello. I think that neither of them needs to work, so which one will spend the most time with the child, or will they choose to have a nanny, and the one that's going to have the nanny should give it to the other one?
You'd make them compete in court with presentations and such as to how they're going to take care of the child.
Yeah, well, Paul's 64, right. And if he's going to raise the...
Paul's put together a huge production.
A castle in Leeds!
Well, we're going to show
a large pony!
In Royal Albert Hall with big, huge screens. And here's a picture of how the kid will be taken care of. Can you be sure?
Well, the child will wear him out if he spends his full time with her.
Ooh.
Instead of having him with a nanny. So
the age creeps in there for you.
Well, if they have the attitude and the energy, then go for it.
Yeah,
if
man, I saw
have a nanny to help out, then they should give it to the other one more.
The dude did it like a 3-hour show at Key Arena, man. He's got the stamina.
Well, good. Yeah.
Thank you, Ray. Hello,
Bob. I realize you're broadcasting, so this is a broad generalization. But generally speaking, I would think that boys should go with the father and girls should go with the mother. And the reason is because boys need discipline. That's what makes them grow. And girls need coddling. That's what makes them grow. And they're not the same. They're completely different.
I love your super simplification of life. Carrie.
Hi. I don't agree with it. I think that the state of Washington does a disservice to most of the men in the state. I know plenty of guys that have been totally screwed over in this, and they deserve the kids because they're the nurturer, they're the caregiver, they're the far better parent, but the woman gets it, and they're not worth beans as a mother. They shouldn't get, no.
All right, you're talking about just a couple of specific friends you have, right?
You know the girl we're talking about, sure.
All right, Carrie, thank you. Juliet.
Hi there. My opinion as a psychology major and a mother of two boys is that the children should go with the mother due to the fact that the father's getting old and it's not conducive to form an attachment with somebody that is going to obviously pass within the next 20 years, and I don't feel that it's going to be therapeutic for the child at such a young age, and perhaps when they're older, they can deal with that better. But I think
can
the child
I still
should
change her? I think she's a stranger.
Scheduled visitations with the father, every couple.
Juliet,
couple
we're out of time. Juliet?
Yeah?
All right, so you say Paul's an old man.
No, I don't say he's an old man, but I'm saying, you know, within the next 20 years.
He will
then,
be. Well, he'll be 23.
Age, like 80. Yeah.
You change your own diapers at 23.
Thank you. You might see plenty of ghosts, vampires, zombies, and werewolves tonight. University of Central Florida physicist Costas Efthimiou, I hope I got that right, he wants to assure you that none of them will be real. You might have already known that. Some people believe in ghosts, though, like our own Joe. Costas says, while a large percentage of people seem to believe in ghosts and the supernatural, he can prove that they don't exist. Costas, good morning. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I am fine. Happy Halloween.
Thanks. For you too.
Okay. Now, why are you debunking the myths of ghosts, vampires, and zombies?
Well, this is part of a bigger project to persuade the public not to believe in pseudoscientific beliefs.
Pseudoscientific beliefs.
Those are actually topics that are pushed to the people has been real science. However, they are incorrect beliefs. They are not related to science at all. And there is statistics, official statistics by the National Science Foundation that shows that the percentage of people who believe in such topics is at an all-time high.
It is. So we as a society believe in ghosts more than we ever have in the past?
Pretty much that's true, yes. In fact, the peak was in 2001. It seems that it has declined a little now, but still the percentage is higher than it used to be, let's say, in 1919 or in 1980.
So you're saying vampires never existed and they don't exist now?
Absolutely. That's what all scientists and skeptics believe.
Well, I recognize your accent. That's Transylvanian. I can tell. I think you might be an undercover.
Close
you,
enough.
You have nothing to worry about.
Are you trying to pull the wool over our eyes here?
You're just waiting to get Joe in the dark outside his car at night.
I'm sorry, I did not hear very well.
Oh, okay. Joe.
Aha, I reflected in the mirror.
I just suspect that you might
know a little.
The blinding
light of truth darkens his mind.
You might know a little more about vampires than you're letting on, you said.
Joe loves to believe in this sort of thing, Costas. He really does. And a lot of people like to believe. You're not a psychologist, but can you imagine why people like to believe in this sort of stuff?
Well, yes, there are many people, many psychologists, as you said, who have tried to find out why people believe in such topics. Of course, the most important factor is fear of death. If you really think about those topics, ghosts, vampires, and zombies are about objects, let's say, let me call them objects, who, after they die, come back to life. So they reveal our our inner thoughts about living forever.
Well, you don't have to fear death at all, do you?
I do fear death. I mean, I'm pretty sure that everyone fears death.
Do you fear
really
garlic?
Think about it.
Do you fear garlic?
Or holy water?
Well, no.
Okay.
Just checking.
So so the accent really is more like Ricky Ricardo than it is Transylvanian.
It's South American.
All right. So Costas...
my accent is actually Greek.
It's Greek?
Greek.
Oh, totally off. Actually. I'm so sorry. And obviously we're having a little fun with it, but just in good fun. So you... Now let me take the other side on this, because I always like to do that. But how can you prove... In science, you can only prove something exists. I don't believe you can prove a negative. I don't think you can prove to me that these things do not exist. You can prove to me that it hasn't been proven they exist. You following me?
Right. You're absolutely right, actually. Okay. I must say that we cannot disprove that they don't exist. You are absolutely right. We can only show that they're really inconsistent with science, and if you apply logic... then those myths or legends cannot hold very well against logic. Let me give you an example. I could come one day and say, I found out that I have invisible squirrels in my yard.
Invisible squirrels in my yard.
Absolutely. Actually, I can make the statement right now. So I have invisible squirrels on the trees
squirrels.
Of my yard.
Yeah. Yes,
so
yes.
You can try now all your life to disprove my statement.
Nick,
but I will always say that they reveal themselves to me because they are familiar with me. But they will never reveal themselves to you. So you will never be able to disprove my statement. All you will be able to do is show that this statement is inconsistent with the physical laws.
It is inconsistent with physical laws. Now, you could be right about the invisible squirrels, and it would be very frustrating for you, wouldn't it? Because you couldn't prove it to other people.
No one believes you.
Well, yes, I mean, so all pseudoscientific beliefs are exactly like this. Someone is making a statement, you will never be able to disprove it, but you will always show, you can always show, that it's not consistent with logic and simple science.
Costas, I notice you haven't dared to take on the lycanthrope, the werewolf. Is that one? That's a proven fact then, right?
Proven fact?
Yeah, the werewolves do in fact
exist. Well, he didn't mention werewolves along with ghosts, vampires, and zombies,
no.
I would assume.
Well, I had to select some topics. I must say that was a little article we wrote for fun as a result of some popular talks that I had given.
Right.
So I had to select some talks, some topics among all possible topics that I could really talk about. So I never mentioned werewolves, as you say. But of course, I personally, I don't believe in any of those supernatural
none of that stuff.
Objects.
So, a physicist, Costas Efthymiou, did I get to pronounce that right?
Absolutely.
No, I did pronounce it right, according to Mike. Mike's giving me the thumbs down.
He
what
said
do you...
absolutely, Costas.
That was very good, actually. You pronounced it extremely well.
Efthymiou. All right,
yes.
Costas. Larger question, obviously, it's sort of a religious holiday. You personally, you don't, do you have any religious beliefs or anything like that? Or have you decided, or are you kind of agnostic, open-minded about it?
I can try to answer this. Science cannot say that there is or there is not God, if you really want to ask about God. So I cannot really say that there is or there is not
right.
God.
Science can't,
and
science
certainly
can't
cannot
say.
Prove or disprove. There is no evidence in that direction. So the answer can go in both questions. Personally, I believe that there is no supernatural interference with our world. So if there is a God, he's sitting there somewhere in the heaven, just observing the human affairs, not mixing with us, just looking at us and deciding who is doing the right thing and who is
in other words,
like a documentary filmmaker, you can't really get involved.
So it's like Santa Claus then. If there is
well, one. No, it's not really exactly the same because, of course, Santa
knows
Claus
who's been naughty and who's been nice.
Fictitious person, but so I can really claim that I can again prove that Santa Claus,
sure.
or I come close to prove that Santa Claus does not exist.
No, let's not do that.
Costas, of course, you have to acknowledge that all sorts of things are possible, including layers and layers of science that you haven't even begun to figure out yet. I mean, let's face it, we thought the Earth was flat and we didn't even believe in electricity, that we could harness it until really very recently in human existence, right?
Absolutely. Okay. Science does not know everything. So as we learn more and more, scientists do change opinion about things.
Okay. So we're going to add werewolves, Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, and leprechauns onto your list.
Unfortunately not. Those topics have been around with us for many, many
sure.
years, decades mm-hmm. actually, yeah. and there is not even a single evidence that scientists will change their mind about those topics. There is no indication, there is no experiment or any other thing that says that there might be something valid in those topics.
Right. Well, the only experiment I know is that I've left out cookies and milk for year after year, and they're
and
always...
In the morning, they're gone.
Well, the milk sometimes not, but when you leave beer, it's gone. All right. Costas, very nice. Now, a couple of other quick things, because you are a scientist. What do you think about global warming? We were talking about that with another scientist, and he was saying that global warming is no big deal. It just happens every 1,500 years, and the little tiny amounts of pollution we're doing to the planet are not going to destroy anything.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have to disagree with him. In fact, we have the statistics that shows that there is global warming. The temperature of Earth does increase.
No, he didn't say it didn't exist. He said it's a natural cycle. And that man is not making it worse.
Well, I have to point out to him that there are actually national reports on this issue. He may want to look at the at publications of physicists. And in fact, the National Science Foundation has issued certain warnings and other reports. And I do know that there are even advisors to the president of the country that try to claim that there is no serious problem, but unfortunately there is a problem and we should care about our planet. So I would recommend that everyone does his or her part for saving the planet. We are visitors on this planet and we should preserve it.
And personally, do you prefer your steak very rare?
My steak very rare. No, absolutely the opposite.
Okay, good. I feel
no
better.
Oh, he still thinks you're a vampire.
Well, I see that you try to debunk me. But
I try to debunk
trying
you.
Trying to catch you.
You have fun with those invisible squirrels.
Yes, actually I do.
All right.
Yeah, I bet.
Costas, you're a fantastic guy. Thank you very much.
Oh, thanks a lot for inviting me.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
I want to write your interview.
Thank you for frightening me. There's a warning we need to give to all of you about, and this is it's a Halloween sounding story, but it's not. I don't think it has anything to do with Halloween.
No, it's been going on for weeks.
Grave robbers are operating in our area, and when I say grave robbers, I don't mean it in the,
digging up the dead.
No, it's not that.
Looking for jewelry.
But grave robbers have already tampered with 200 graves in King County. What they're after? No digging involved. They're stealing brass vases from graves. Two men have been arrested for allegedly stealing brass grave vases. The latest twist in what police say is a growing problem of metal theft. I know something of this, metal theft. You know, metal is worth money.
Scrap, yeah, scrap iron.
As scrap it's yeah. actually worth money by the pound. At least 200 vases have been stolen in the past few weeks from Washington Memorial Park in SeaTac and Sunset Hills Memorial Park in Bellevue.
Those brass urns you see people putting on graves, they're just coming and taking them.
I almost hate to give this out, but we have to prevent. Information needs to be out there, right?
Right.
A 5-pound vase costs $150. As the price of scrap metal soars, thieves have been targeting aluminum freeway guardrails. Guardrails. That's right. You heard right. Traffic signs and copper wiring, which they sell to metal recyclers. Now, don't the metal recyclers need some...
Where'd you get this guardrail? My dad had it. It's been in the family for years. I think I originally killed my grandfather, so it really hurts me to part with it, you know.
But...
Need the cash for meth.
The recyclers they interviewed for this article claim that they get the names and addresses of anybody that brings stuff in, and if stuff's suspect,
yeah,
they
we bought this urn for Grandma. She pulled through. Who knew, huh?
She's still alive. She's still kicking. Grandma there.
Here's
she's only...
Wave, Grandma. Her little hand goes up
she's
in the
only,
back the
No,
car.
She's only 38, but she, you know... yeah.
But like whatever. In any industry, there's probably always people that are less, you know, scrupulous than others.
Well, it's like pawn shops, right? How much of the stuff in pawn shops is actually stolen?
I know the one time I went to pawn something, I was really given the third degree by the guy to the point where I decided not to pawn it.
What were you pawning?
A watch.
Whose watch?
It was kind of mine. I mean,
what do you mean, kind of mine?
Well, I found it.
I was holding it.
I didn't steal it, but
it,
you know,
it was something you inherited that you didn't really care about,
right.
And you don't want to broadcast that on the radio now because people might be listening.
I wanted a loan for it, but by the time the guy was done asking me questions, I said, "Forget it. It's not worth the hassle."
Construction sites, farms, city transportation departments, all reporting thefts of scrap metal. Phil, go ahead.
Firefighter in one of the communities around here, but one thing that's becoming a big thing for them to take is the fire department connections to buildings. And in our district, we've discovered in the retirement communities, assisted livings and things like that, that they've been stealing them off of those, which not only causes a huge problem for life safety, but also the building can also burn up a lot faster.
You mean that big fire department grade huge faucet that you have outside, they just unscrew it?
Yep.
Doesn't it water gush out as soon as they do that?
No.
That's just the cap to something they put water into that feeds the sprinklers of the building, right?
Right.
Okay. Oh.
It's like the lid of a toilet seat.
Oh, yeah. I see. And what are those worth?
I don't know a dollar value. The thing that I just find amazing is the recyclers, you know, they don't question it. There's no laws on the books that say, hey, anything that looks like it's a fire department thing or...
So why is it red?
I got it from the University of Wisconsin. go Badgers. $18 a pound, right? Right. I got a fire hydrant in the back, too. It was my dog. He liked to play in the backyard. You know, I washed it first.
All right, so you guys need to actually, like, I hate to say it, but these places, these scrap metal places should look like the post office. They should have, like, wanted posters of things they shouldn't take, right?
Exactly.
These are not accepted at the recycling plant.
But they don't question it because it's all a money game.
Calvin, go ahead.
Hey, my grandpa... He makes around $100,000 a year off of scrapping.
Well,
really?
Where does he get his stuff?
Well, see, the thing is you can go around and you can get... Well, he's been doing this since the 40s. And what he does is he goes around and he finds metal all over the place. Like, you can get aluminum's really, like, pricey. So you can get it off of anything. You can find old cars, go down to the junkyard, and all sorts of different places, and he just breaks the metal off of old junk and then takes it down to the scrapyard and sells it.
And he's legit.
See, yep, completely legit.
Spike,
he's been doing this forever.
Spike was implying that the scrapper is basically somebody who needs meth so bad that they go and they grab a guardrail.
well, legit guys don't show up with guardrails and just with urns from funeral homes and from graveyards.
I'm just saying they're not necessarily meth heads either.
Not
they might
all,
just
right.
be ordinary common crooks. They're not necessarily doing it for drugs.
Okay.
Yeah. And
my problem is with the graveyard that doesn't bother to stop somebody until the 200th urn is gone.
Well,
if you're a graveyard and so you come show up one morning and somebody goes, hey, they stole Grandpa's urn off his cemetery, Don't you, like, post a guard or hire security or do something before 200 are gone?
A cemetery plot. Thank you, Calvin. We're not going to make you sit through this. A cemetery plot is pretty expensive. You expect to be guarded 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
In the hereafter?
Well, my family's remains or the memoriam I put up or that I pay for to have it maintained or whatever. Yeah, I expect them to have some security at the cemetery.
But don't you want those gates to be open when you want to come visit your deceased one? You don't want to have to go through a metal detector just to go see grandma.
You think somebody's walking out there in broad daylight with 8 or 9 urns under his raincoat? Like in a, you know, Pink
Panther
movie?
He wants to be like SureGuard storage. He wants cameras everywhere. You get to get a record of who's kneeled at every single grave, that kind of a thing.
I think they're coming in at night maybe and taking the urns. I don't think they're walking out there in broad daylight. Nothing for me today, thanks. Just wanted to say goodbye to Grandpa. Clunk, 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 clunk.
Catherine Bailey, funeral home manager at Sunset Hills Memorial Park, said grounds crew workers noticed the vase thefts several weeks ago. In response, the Memorial Park has increased security, and they, just so you know, are replacing the stolen vases. In an effort to combat the problem, police have notified area recyclers to be on the lookout for thieves who may be able to, or may be trying to sell stolen scrap metal. People can make, according to West Seattle Recycling, $100 to $200 a day easily. That's, you know, if you work constantly, it's a $1,200 a week. That's a $4,000 to $5,000 a month.
$60,000 a year.
That's amazing. That's
free.
All right. Jim, go ahead. You get the last word on this. Jim in Everett.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I have a scrapyard, small one in Soma, and I certainly do everything I can if I see somebody coming in with a whole bunch of one particular type of item to, you know, keep track of who that is. But a lot of the stuff comes in, and it's in the back of, you know, a dump truck that it's, you know, refrigerators and all kinds of different things, just heaps of different types of recycling. And they come in and they weigh the truck, they dump their stuff, and then they leave. The truck's weighed again. And a lot of that stuff is just buried. I would imagine they probably hide a lot of it underneath. And so there's a lot of times there's no way to know exactly what, you know, what is in there. Now, if somebody comes in with a truckload of brass urns from a cemetery, that would be different.
That's going to be...
Keep the flowers, not
in other words,
charge.
That's not how it's going to happen.
Right.
They're going to bury it in a bunch of other... And you shouldn't have to sift through all of that anyway.
Well, there's no way to do that because a lot of it, what happens is it just gets all thrown into a big heap.
Right.
That gets picked up with a magnet. It gets sent into a machine that cuts it all up or else melts it. And so you don't always even see exactly what it is. It's just by weight.
So whose responsibility, who has the greater level of responsibility? The person who leaves it where it's easy to take in terms of surveillance? Or the person who buys scrap metal who, it's metal. Don't know where it came from.
I'd say it's a little bit of both, and I would also say that personally, buying a $150 urn to put on someone's gravesite, I don't know how sensible that is. I don't know that makes a lot of sense, quite honestly.
It's stupid to leave something that valuable out there. Yeah.
Okay. So,
loose.
So women shouldn't wear jewelry because it's too tempting for thieves, and you're crazy to walk around with $1,000.
At least they can identify the guy because they can see him.
Yeah, that's right.
What does an animal see when he looks in a mirror? Have you ever tried this with your dog or your cat? Generally, what they see, and by the way, scientists have done many studies about this, generally what they see is another animal,
mm-hmm.
not themselves.
Oh, I don't believe that. The Is Man can spend hours sitting there staring at himself in the sliding glass door. I think he's wanting out, but he's just sitting there staring at himself going, you are a good-looking dude. I mean, I know that's what he's thinking.
Well, I don't know how you know what your animal's thinking. That's another study.
What he's thinking is there's another cat outside that wants to come in and tap in his Purina One stash, and he's being defensive of his territory.
According to scientists, the only animals so far that have been shown to distinguish themselves in a mirror are humans, chimpanzees, and thirdly, to a limited extent, dolphins, so far. And a new animal has just been added to the list. Elephants, or maybe one elephant, because they have to confirm this with a bunch of different elephants. Or maybe your cat will be the one cat. I don't know. It's Happy the Elephant at the Bronx Zoo. And Happy the Elephant figured out how to look at himself in the mirror and pat himself on the head. And this convinced the scientists that Happy realizes that Happy is looking at Happy. May not sound like a big deal, but animals are, you know, they live in a universe where if they see another animal, they don't go, "That's me."
No, they go, "This is mine." They might just get territorial and protective right. of their stuff.
Or they may be puzzled by it. What's been your experience with your dog, Mike?
First, let me say, hi, Fitz. Here, boy. Actually, he has no self-awareness whatsoever. He only has eyes for me, as most dogs do. Well, not for me, but for their people.
Right. Have you shown him himself in the mirror?
He just could not care less.
That thing in the mirror is nothing.
We tried it yesterday in his Darth Vader costume. Just look, Fitz, look at how cool
you dressed your dog as Darth Vader for tonight.
That's right. He's going to go walking around with
that's
us.
So animals don't know shame either then, huh?
Well, that's supposed
to shame you're not on Capitol Hill anymore, because really that's where you belong.
Those animal advocates say, you know, you're not supposed to dress your dogs.
Right.
And the funny thing is, it's not, you know, it's kind of awkward for him, so he walks really slow and lumbering like Darth Vader would. It's perfect.
In a 2005 experiment, Happy faced her reflection in an 8x8 mirror and repeatedly used her trunk to touch the X painted above her eye. She could not have seen the mark except in her reflection. Further, Happy ignored a similar mark made on the opposite side of her head in paint of an identical smell and texture. So to be sure that it wasn't just that the elephant was randomly saying, "Hey, get this thing off my forehead."
Right.
It seems to verify for us she definitely recognized herself in the mirror. Two other zoo elephants failed this test miserably, and they will have to go to the back of the elephant class. Maxine used the tip of her trunk to probe the inside of her mouth while facing the mirror and ignored the X, and the other elephant just didn't even bother to think about it at all. That's what they do at the Bronx Zoo when the lights go out. Our other animal story this morning involves baby koalas. Wouldn't it be great if we could get to know the animal kingdom a little bit better? You know, Dr. Doolittle-ish and all, learn to talk with the animals, walk with the animals, make... I mean, I know we're supposedly not supposed to because their brains have limited cognitive abilities, but this shows that we're learning every day more about what animals can actually sense and think.
I got enough humans mad at me. I don't want animals mad at me, too. I'd rather just keep the blissful ignorance, since we're trashing their planet, too, and to know that they're all hating us.
If animals could run for office. So scientists yesterday unveiled three test tube baby koalas. First test tube baby koalas.
Artificially made?
Artificial insemination designed to ensure the species' survival. Three of the eight koalas born on the Gold Coast in Queensland State. That's, isn't that...
Australia.
That's Australia?
Northern okay. Australia.
They made their first public appearance at a local wildlife sanctuary. They're between 10 and 12 months old, so they've been around for a while. They just haven't been brought out to the public. You know, they don't like to bring out the... dead koala pups. We tried.
Make sure it's going to take.
They don't announce it until they actually have some that work. Steve Johnston, the project leader, said they now have the technology to even transport koala semen. That's great. That's more than I needed to overshare. Eventually overseas so that they could create koalas in zoos all over the world. Some 25 koalas have been produced by artificial insemination. The success rate is approaching that of natural mating. Koala, by the way, not endangered, but listed as vulnerable.
Because they're cute, for one thing.
We don't want to claim that. Well, so they're cute. Why would you not give them endangered?
Well, there's plenty of them still, but their cuteness factor, I think, weighs into the fact that they could be killed.
Oh, they're vulnerable because people...
Right, because all they do is eat those eucalyptus leaves and hang around in trees.
They're easy to catch.
Yeah.
Are they friendly, koalas? in the wild?
I wouldn't put my hand close to
I think they'd bite your hand off, Eric.
Yeah. Actually, I have seen koalas in the wild, and yeah.
Of course he has.
Yeah, you don't want to go too close to them because they will...
No, I think they're cute until you get anywhere near them, and then they bite your nose off.
Right. You get threatened because we're cutting down their habitat.
All right. So now the researchers plan to create the world's first koala sperm bank.
It can't be too cute.
Wait, do you hear the...
need our help.
This is the last sentence of the story. Wait, do you hear this? Researchers plan to create the world's first koala sperm bank where samples will be screened for common koala diseases such as chlamydia. You're right, Joe. They're vulnerable. A company called Union Products Incorporated is closing its doors today after 49 years. They've made a product that Americans bought tens of millions of. It serves no practical purpose whatsoever. What's the product?
At one time, they had 100 employees doing nothing but making these things all day long.
Tens of millions of you bought these things. Serves no practical purpose. You know what it is?
I think I do.
A guess?
Hula hoop.
Good guess, but no.
Good guess, but no.
That has a practical purpose. That's to play with. That's exercise.
1-800-252-1025. The prize, dinner at Famous Dave's Legendary Pit Barbecue. Locations in Tacoma and Puyallup.
Start in the 50s. Tens of millions.
Tens of millions were sold. Serves no practical purpose. Adam.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I'm going to guess the Slinky.
The Slinky? Not the Slinky.
The Slinky actually does a great purpose. It's to confirm gravity still exists on the planet. Without Slinkies, we would not know.
That's true. these are all silly, though.
Yeah.
And I think does the Slinky still exist? I believe it does.
It does. Not metal anymore, by the way. They're not safe. As metal Slinkies, they're plastic.
Silly Putty no longer exists. Really? I remember we did the obituary for the closing of the Silly Putty factory, which used to be located near my house when I was growing up. Kevin.
Yeah, I was thinking it was the miniature American flags.
Oh, there's a billion different companies that make those, and a lot of them are in China. No, it's not that. Just because the Democrats might take the House and the Senate doesn't mean the little flag waving people are going to go away. Mark, hello.
Yes.
You're on. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's Pet Rock.
Pet Rock Company? No.
But a Pet company Rocks? That makes Pet Rocks?
Good question. Carrie, what do you think it is?
I'm sorry to say this, but I'm thinking maybe it's the whoopee cushion.
The whoopee cushion? No.
Or...
And Dale?
Hey, Bob.
What do you think it is?
The antenna ball.
No. All right, I have a correct answer. I've had it for a little while. Karen and Graham was quick off the mark. This company has been making this product for 49 years. They're called Union Products Incorporated. It serves no practical purpose, but tens of millions of you bought them. Karen, what is it?
Pink flamingos.
Pink flamingos.
Yep, the pink flamingo would be 50 years old next year, but it's not going to live to see it.
They couldn't hang on.
Oh, that's hard.
Now, Karen, did you read the story? You must have.
No, actually, I saw it on Discovery.
Okay, well, that's what I mean. You knew the answer. You didn't guess.
Yes.
It's a hard guess. All right, you're going to go to Famous Dave's Barbecue.
Awesome, thank you.
Legendary Pit Barbecue. Hang on.
Sales were just so bad for the Pink Flamingo that they decided they couldn't keep it together for...
I don't know why
anniversary jubilee.
I don't know why anybody ever bought a pink flamingo, Joe. Why would you buy one of those?
I don't know, but in the 60s, just about everybody did. I mean, they were on the lawns of half the cities in America, all in the suburbs. People had flocks of pink flamingos.
Can you imagine that? Sticking a plastic bird that doesn't even have a habitat in your area in your lawn. What's the point?
It makes people think of tropics. It's a mood enhancer. My mom's nuts about them.
Your mom had them.
Tons of them. Still does, because they're back in Florida now, so it's apropos to shove a plastic bird in your lawn.
Huh. We've had the phones jammed with bank robbers before. Is there anybody out there who has a pink flamingo in their yard?
And not just in like a I'm hanging one for Halloween scenario, like all the time.
You really have a pink flamingo in your yard?
This is gnome country. This is garden gnome country.
Yeah.
You know, pink flamingos, that's territorial.
Garden gnomes are cool.
Garden gnomes are it.
Man. I'd like a garden gnome. Do you know where I can get one?
Yeah. Swing a dead cat in this town, you'll hit a garden gnome.
Just search garden gnome on Craigslist.
I don't think you have to try that hard. I think any roadside or
look at
nursery.
This. The phones are full of pink flamingo people. Hal, you have a pink.
Hello.
You have a pink flamingo.
I have four of them. They started out as a present for my mother from my sister and I for her 80th birthday.
Ah.
That's
a boomerang pink flamingo.
yeah. The neighbors even come over, and she's Irish, and she puts bows around her neck during St. Patty's Day, and at Christmas time they get bows for Christmas.
Okay, then. It's a little bit campy, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And you like
it. It's intended to be absurd.
All right. There's no pink flamingos north of where? Florida?
I am not certain.
In fact, does
what
the
pink, range of their habitat is?
Does the pink,
I know it's not in Preston.
Does the pink flamingo even exist, Eric?
Oh yeah,
they are pink like mm-hmm. that, like the ones that are on the lawns.
Yeah, sort of a coral color.
Right. Here's Tish. Tish, you have two?
I do have two.
And you went even further, didn't you?
No, I also have a tattoo of one on my leg.
That's going further.
That one would say.
You have a leg, you have a pink flamingo on your leg.
Yes, I do.
All right, and what possessed you?
It just kind of signifies that your white trailer trash. Isn't that why people started getting them?
I wasn't going to say it.
Wow.
Thank you. Devon.
Shout to the world.
Devon, hello.
Hi.
You have a pink flamingo?
Yeah, it's not in my yard, but last year when I was a freshman in high school, our seniors decided to plant pink flamingos all over our school's campus, and there were pink flamingos everywhere, and just about everybody took one home as a souvenir.
Jeez, with all those sales, how are these guys going out of business?
I have no idea.
But you've got one. It could appreciate now on you.
Yep.
Hang on to that, Devon. That's your 401 bird.
Yep.
Thank you. They're everywhere. And you see, that was the story. The tens of millions have been sold.
And they, you know, it's plastic. They'll be here 1,000 years from now. I guess you really only need to make so many. And
Michelle.
Yes.
You have a pink flamingo.
I have a pink flamingo in my backyard because it's the mascot for my crazy group of girlfriends.
Okay. And what do you guys get together and have plastic toy parties?
No, but we get together and we have feather boas and pink flamingos in our drinks and we just have a blast.
All right.
Stand up on one leg and see who falls over first.
Another Michelle. Michelle? Or Michael, excuse me.
Yeah, Michael. Yeah, I've got two pair in my front yard and people mysteriously decorate them up for us during the holidays. Right now they've got little black capes on them and I think it's our neighbors, but it's really disappointing to hear they're going out of business. I got to buy some more.
What is the attraction of the pink flamingo?
Back where I grew up in Queens, New York, there was the old folklore that if you had pink flamingos, you were part of the mafia. And I don't know if that's true, but I bought them originally to annoy my mother that I had them, and I sent her pictures of them. But I don't know. They're kind of whimsical. I've got gnomes, but nobody decorates those up.
Right. The legend of the pink flamingo is that's Tony Soprano's house.
That's what my probably, mother does. I don't argue with her.
It's probably like ADT. It's probably a great security system. You're not going to break into a house with a pink flamingo.
Yeah, right. Not only do they decorate them in my ear, but they move them around. I'll wake up and they'll be on the other side of the lawn, or they'll be in various physical positions with themselves. So it's people in my neighborhood get a big kick out of them, I guess.
People in your neighborhood go on trespass on your property and rearrange your flamingos.
They rearrange them and they decorate them.
They never take them home.
And you like it, yes. All right, Jeff, go ahead.
Hello?
You're on, Jeff.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Pink flamingos. Tens of millions of people have them.
My sister, me and my sister, when my dad was dying, hang on 1 second. Come on, buddy.
Dad is dying. Hang on a second. Look, if you've got more important things to do.
Merging right now.
When my dad was dying, we found these pink flamingos, and I said, I'm going to put these in your van. And she goes, don't you dare. Well, I took them. I snuck them in her van, and I've been sending them ever since. The lady that I know went to Trinidad, so I gave her a couple pink flamingos. Yeah, I'm driving.
Be careful there.
And she sent them from Trinidad. My sister didn't know where they come from, and she called me out and gave me a... Now she just has them, and my girlfriend even sends her salt and pepper shakers and stuff with pink flamingos.
Sure, this is because of people that collect curios.
She hates it, but what can she say?
Thank you, Jeff. Michelle.
Yes.
Why does everybody have pink flamingos?
I don't know, but we just did it to harass a coworker that was always harassing us.
You use them as a weapon.
Yeah.
It's 1,001 uses.
Linda, why do you have pink flamingos?
Because I live at Snoqualmie Pass, and I thought they'd add some color to all the snow in the wintertime, so I put 9 of them out with Santa Claus as soon as there's enough snow on the ground.
Nice. Nick, why do you have pink flamingos?
Yeah, we used to do flamingo flock people's houses. We'd go to their house, and we'd set up a couple, about 50 to 100 in their front yard, so when they wake up, there's like a whole flock in their front yard.
It's a pranking gesture.
And then they would prank another friend because they didn't know who did it, and so it would go around the neighborhood, and so the flock would go from house to house.
Dick, why do you have pink flamingos?
We have pink flamingos because they spin in the wind, and it's kind of fun to see the wings of the flamingos flying around in the front yard.
You've got all do that?
No, those are fancy pink flamingos.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they do. They all do.
The wings spin with the wind. They're like little windmills.
That's right. They are.
They're like Pete Townsend flamingo.
Yeah, you got that right.
All right, Larry.
Yes. Hello.
What's the legend of the pink flamingo to you?
I wish I knew. My wife brought two home, put them on the archway that leads to a greenbelt, and then put a string of flamingo lights over the archway. And she goes out and puts little witch hats on them for Halloween and little Santa hats on them for Christmas.
Oh, people need kids.
And Brent.
Hey. My mother always wanted some pink flamingos, so my little brother went out Christmas Eve and picked up 30 of them and planted them in her backyard. Showed them to her Christmas morning.
30 flamingos on your yard Christmas morning.
Pink flamingos. Oh. Don't ask me why she liked them or wanted them.
That's it. That's what I'm asking people. No one's really sort of said why. It's just the thought of having something plastic that looks like something, and suddenly there comes this urge. Why do humans have this urge to collect? Like, I've got 50 of them.
Well, it gives them a sense of worth. But in the case of flamingos,
Yeah, once you've got 50 flamingos, you're done for life.
I've got 50 flamingos in my yard. Friend. My self-esteem goes up?
That's mafia exactly will protect right. you.
It's true. And the thing about flamingos, and I've seen them in the wild, they actually live in Africa. And when I was in Africa, I saw them over there. They're so graceful and they're so strange because they have these spindly legs. And when they stop walking, they only stand on one leg at a time. And nobody really knows why. So they're just absurd creatures to begin with, and beautiful at the same time.
Nobody knows why they stand on one leg.
Nobody knows why.
Well, try, I would like any one of you listening right now, if you're not in the car, stand on one leg and see how long you could do it. Eric, will you stand on one leg for me and see how long you can do it?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure they're resting.
Casey's trying it too.
I'm in heels too, so, FYI.
I got one for you.
Are you on one leg?
I am.
You are not. You're lying. Look, it's radio. We drained Lake Erie and filled it with milk. Is he on one leg?
He's on one leg. I can see.
Have been since you first brought it up.
Okay. Joe?
And they rest. They sleep on one leg, too, by the way.
Oh, well, that's not fair. I can't
do
that.
They sleep on one leg.
They're resting the other leg is what they're doing, probably.
What do you mean resting the other leg?
Well, it's holding you to the ground, so you give it a break every once in a while.
Eric, you still on one leg?
I'm still on one leg.
They get to tuck it back up into their feathers and rest the one. We're having to hold it up with nothing but our muscles.
How long do you think you can do it?
I could probably do it for about an hour.
You're wrong.
I'll bet you $50.
All right, you're on.
You're flamingo.
Mike, you're security. Boom, you're flamingo.
You're a flamingo now.
I think it's the color that really gets people cheered up. Like that lady said about the up in the past.
Is pink a good color? But sure. See, now, ordinarily, pink is not. Pink is the last thing you would choose for a wall of a room. you know, you have to have like a 6-year-old daughter or something to paint it
pink. Technically it's coral, not pink.
Well, it varies. It anywhere from pink, pale pink, coral to red.
It's not pink, hence the name Pink Flamingo. Hello, John.
Yes.
Why do you have them?
Well, I don't have them myself, but right now they're very popular as a fundraiser. They you announce in your church or school that you're going to have flocking, and you'll put them out in people's yards at night, and then they have to pay a ransom in order to get them moved into another yard.
Wow.
And they actually, you can buy flocking insurance ahead of time to where you can guarantee they won't end up in your yard.
That's funny. Angie, go ahead.
Hi. I don't have any pink flamingos, but my neighbor has some. He's been protesting them building these houses and apartments next to our property. And so he bought them and put them in his yard, along with putting tires on his roof and various other things like that.
To keep new construction away.
To decrease property value.
Terry, hello.
Hello.
What's the legend of the pink flamingo?
Well, I don't know, but we built igloos up on Mount Rainier one year, and we carried up an inflatable pink flamingo to mark the front of our home on the mountainside. And it added color to the landscape.
Very nice. Sean.
Hi. Morning.
You're on.
Hey, so when I was in the military about 10 years ago, we went out and stole somebody's pink flamingo, just one of them. And then as we traveled the world, we would take a photo of that flamingo in front of something, some object, some, you know, the pyramids or whatever, and then mail it back to that address of some strange person who had no idea who we were.
That's, you know, that's entertaining. That doesn't sound too bad. They do that with what...
Is it supposed to be like the bird, like, was your traveling companion or something?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, more like, you know, the bird... It wasn't a picture of the bird with us. It was just a bird by itself, and we'd mail it back to that address of whoever's house we happened to drive by and grab their pink flamingo. But I got to tell you, it was a major packing issue.
Wait a minute.
You only have one bag to take.
Wait a minute. Now I'm getting it. You stole pink flamingos... And then showed the hostage where you took it.
Essentially, yeah. But we did return it. We did return it. It took us about 4 years, returned it. I don't know if the same people still live there, but...
What? Now, if you did this with someone's car, you'd be a car thief. It would be just as funny, though.
That's right.
Well,
that's right.
The rub is that you find out that a lawn ornament has more fun than you do. The person who got it stolen from, your lawn ornament has seen Paris. Your lawn ornament has been to the Great Wall of China.
I get it. I get
you
it.
Don't
it's
get
very...
to, you don't get to the casino once a month.
Very funny. Amy, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, sorry. Hey, we have actually a little something different with the flamingo. When I was in college, we would cut out the belly of the flamingo, and we'd cut off the beak of the flamingo, and we'd pour a beer into the belly of the flamingo, and we'd shotgun a beer through it, and we called it the flabongo.
Flabongo.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. Thank you, Amy. Kevin.
Yes. Good morning.
The legend of the flamingo.
My wife buys these things for people that are been ill, like cancer or something. Let's give them to them. They're supposed to bring them good luck and good health.
All right. From Fall City, here's Patrick. Patrick.
Yeah, my wife called me up and said she'd bought some flamingos, and I come home, and she had bought 2 cases, 40 in a case. And she's got them spread all over the yard, and she just come back from Home Crepo this weekend and got those 6-foot-tall palm trees that are all lit up with lights.
Oh, now those are nice. My neighbor has those.
She's got 4 of them in the yard, and she's got the flamingos hanging out underneath the palm trees.
This is a sickness at this point.
Did they
though.
Have a sale on those this week? Those...
Yeah, they did.
Really?
They did.
Those
they were like,
nice.
I think they were like $39 or $40.
Wow, that's
all right.
Thank
you, Bruce.
Price.
All right, now we have 2 people with information. Monroe says, is it he or she, Monroe? Let's find out. That's an interesting name. Monroe?
Yes.
Guy named Monroe.
Yes.
You can tell us why. Eric, are you still standing on one leg?
I can tell you why flamingos lift one leg.
Why?
Because if they lifted both, they'd fall.
Thank you.
Hi-oh. Yes! You are correct, sir.
The legend of the flamingo lives on. Bruce in Woodinville, he says he knows why the company, and if you just tuned in, the reason it started is the company that makes pink flamingos, 49 years in business, They've sold tens of millions of them. They are going out of business. Well, are they just stopping making the flamingos?
They're closing their doors.
Closing their doors forever.
They're not making anything.
This is it. Bruce, you know why?
Well, it says in the copy of the September 16th Plastic News that they are simply the victim of the price of resin, which means the price of oil, and the Chinese imports that are put them out of business. They sell mostly through Walmart and Kmart. They're not allowed to raise their prices. They've just been squeezed out.
So counterfeit pink flamingos.
Counterfeit pink flamingos.
Chinese pink flamingos.
That's what it says here.
Yeah.
Well, this guy invented it, though. I mean,
but they're being
God invented the pink flamingo.
Started some of the plastic industry in the East Coast.
So this industry is just another example of an American manufacturing icon down the tubes.